Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. It's Thursday. We're talking about minute 103 through 104, and I fucked up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to be talking about the kid walking through Siege Tabor today. That's tomorrow's episode. My bad.
This is what happens when you don't take notes, John.
Motherfucker, you've seen my notes.
I walk in today and you, what is the first thing you tell me is you're like, I forgot to watch the movie. I don't know what section we're talking about. Are we still covering Dune? And then I'm like, yeah, we're
fuck. I thought we were talking about Spaceballs. My yeah, bad.
I know. So I don't know. It's no surprise to me. That's what I'm saying. It's no surprise to me that you are your own worst enemy.
Anyways, on today's episode of the Dune Minute, Lone Star barf. They find yogurt.
And Pizza the Hut's back there.
No, Pizza the Hut is not in this scene.
He eats himself to death. Hilarious.
Oh, God. I watched Spaceballs a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just hold up.
All right. So the thing about Spaceballs.
That tells me that mostly that's a no.
Mostly no. The thing that I've realized about Spaceballs is that they get all of their good jokes out within like the first half of the movie. And then the second half is like, all right, let's.
I was like, oh, actually, we have to tell a story.
Yeah, let's fucking wrap this up. I feel like with Spaceballs.
That's a Mel Brooks thing, though.
It is a Mel. Well, yes and no.
Young Frankenstein is the same way.
Young Frankenstein isn't as bad. Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles is fun the whole way through.
But, sure.
But I feel like with Spaceballs, and I love the movie, but I feel like with Spaceballs, you can just have a supercut of all the jokes and be like, all right, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
President Scroob, salute.
Well, yeah, they take time to watch the movie Spaceballs in the movie Spaceballs.
But when will this happen?
It already has. It's happening right now, sir.
Oh, God.
Yep, funny movie. Go watch it.
Yep.
How did we get on that? The subject?
I don't. You were making fun of me for yesterday.
No, that's right. You don't, because you didn't write notes.
Talk about the kid and trauma, because we were talking about how my theory is that they completely skipped out on the Leto II, the first storyline, to appease the MPAA to maintain a PG-13 rating, because showing the death of a baby is probably not conducive to a PG-13 rating.
Well, they didn't have to show it on screen.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways. So this attack is still going on. Minute 103 through 104.
Yeah.
The attack is still going on.
Yeah, it is a nonstop barrage. And we cut briefly to the inside of Siege Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
And we see just the cave-in of the mountain completely decimate the Cistern of Souls.
Yep.
Giant boulders are falling in, splashing water everywhere.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah.
We
millions of the water of millions is now gone.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember how many Big Macs that was? Uncooked Big Macs.
Oh God. What was the conversion? It was like
I could go back to my notes, but
it was,
I don't,
like tens of millions of uncooked Big Macs or something like that.
Yeah, the right? Caloric equivalent.
Yeah. Americans will do anything but use the metric system.
That's right. So we get another brief shot of the ship firing more missiles into the siege before we cut back to the ops room that we've come to know a few times.
The Solito console?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can never remember that name. I will never remember that name.
That's why I'm here.
Isn't Solito like a city in California?
Not spelled that way.
Okay. It's also a city in Ohio, also not spelled that way. Toledo.
All right, dude.
So from this little diagram that we got, like the animation
projection,
basically. Projection. Yep. Thank you. we can see that there are five ships that are actively attacking the siege.
Yeah. They're just all kind of like floating in a circle around and the, mm-hmm. and the console, like users, I don't know what to call it, the operators.
Yeah.
When we saw them originally, they were doing like a very slow, like kind of chant early mm-hmm. in the movie. This time they're like, bah, 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 bah. And I think it's a representation of them like giving orders okay. to the actual people like flying the ships as to like when to fire. Because if you look at the timing of their chant with the timing of the missiles passing, it lines up pretty closely.
Interesting. That seems like a pretty inefficient way of doing things.
It's the Harkonnen way, baby.
I guess, yeah. So past these five ships that are actively firing upon the siege, you can kind of make out in the distance, and I'm using the term distance liberally here, the projection, like almost at the very edge of the projection, you can see a bunch more ships coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it is nowhere near being done.
No.
And we get to hear a familiar voice after this.
Well, we hear a familiar bit of machinery as well.
Yes, we do. We hear the Baron, and he's talking about how old-fashioned artillery is genius. And it's literally melting the rocks on their heads.
Which we saw. We yep. saw the rock turn to magma and like splatter all over the place.
Yeah. This line about the old-fashioned artillery is something that is pulled from the books.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens way earlier in the book.
I think we talked about the use of
mm-hmm.
old-fashioned artillery line.
Yeah, it was towards the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, they got it in. Great. Good. They got it in. Because it's a good, interesting way of showing, hey, this is the future. Remember, this is the future.
Yeah.
Because yeah, missiles are not something that they are old fashioned missiles are not something that get used very often in combat because we have shields and lasers and stuff like that now. But sometimes the old ways are the good ways.
Well, look, you can't shield an entire siege because you'll drive all the worms into a raving frenzy.
Yeah, would not be good. Hey, guess what? Fade's there.
He is. Yep. Fade is no longer on Gaty Prime. Surprise.
He's there and he wants to get on the ground and prep his troops. Now
to which Harkey Keitel the second.
Yes. Well, this advisor, he does the one thing you should never do to Fade.
Say no.
Well, not even say no, just offer a suggestion that is slightly differing from what he wants to do.
True.
And he gets a quick knife across the throat for this.
Yep.
I did not like this kill. It looked so cartoonish and just like, all right, yeah, last time that we saw him, he was killing people. Oh, guess what? He's still doing that.
It's Fade Rotha, though.
I know. I mean, I understand that it's in character. It's just like...
It's also like this, basically the same motion that he kills the first attendant.
The raincoat, yeah.
Yeah, the raincoat with.
Yeah.
So like
maybe people just need to stop standing exactly at arm's length from Fade.
That yeah. Ever
they're
at it's COVID restrictions again. 6 feet.
Yeah. They just need to stand, you know, two steps back from where they feel comfortable.
You think you're good there? No. Two more.
Yeah. Just I mean, I feel like Fade's zone of death is just an arm plus a knife's length, right? That's yeah. it. So just stand a little bit behind that and you're fine. And he crumples. I mean, he's down.
Yeah. And Fade's just like, Ed, take him to my quarters. My darlings haven't had anything to eat.
Priscilla's hungry. and the guy's still bleeding out. He's not dead yet.
Like yeah, but two other attendants just grab him by the arms and like drag his dying body out.
Yeah.
And fucking Rabin comes in his PJs. He's got his little slippers on and everything. And he's like, what the hell's going on?
So I was a little confused about what he's saying. What the hell's going on too? Like, what the hell's going on? Why are the people, you know, people dropping dead? Or
he says, what are you doing here?
Okay. So he didn't know that Fade was coming and taking over the planet. I think that confirms it.
Yeah.
I think we had talked that maybe he's picking up on a little bit just from prior conversations from the Baron, but, no, he did not know Fade was coming. Fade then says something that, I feel like I've said to you before. Yeah. It's early morning. What are you doing here?
Look, I'm a serial sleeper. Early mornings are not my thing.
The part that I haven't said to you is kiss my feet, brother.
And then Rabin's only response is, I'm going to eviscerate your... And then Fade just... He lunges at Fade, and Fade just plants one square in his fucking gut.
Yep.
His... Kicks him square in the gut. He doesn't stab him.
And this is a two hits and Rabin's down.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I'm sure all of Dave Bautista's WWE experience came into play here, because Rabin catches a boot right in the gut, and then Fade like kicks one of his legs out from under him, and Rabin just goes face first on the ground. Mm-hmm. If I haven't seen some WWE ass looking choreography in Dune, we've seen it now.
And then someone hands Fade a folded chair.
Yeah.
from the distance, and he just like slams him
you
on the
see
back.
Rabin like take the fucking blade to his like for and his like eyebrow or whatever, so he gets the little blood.
Yeah, of course. And they put him in a Hell in a Cell, and it's back in 1993 where the Undertaker fell from the Hell in a Cell. Something like that. I can't remember the full thing.
Yeah. Rabin's on the ground, and we see Fade's shoe just kind of like fall ever so gently down right next to Rabin's face. And then you see the tip of a knife not go into his neck, but just rest right on the side of his neck. And off screen you hear, you humiliated our family.
Yep. Fitting place to end. He could have just ended
What a way to get beat up by your little brother. Did you ever beat up any of your older brothers this way?
No.
Oh.
Well, I'm not a fighter, John.
Nerd.
No, I did get... So they would... you know, I have a fairly large family on my mom's side.
Yeah.
And we all lived very close together. And there's a number of cousins that I had that are my age.
Yeah.
When we were younger... it's basically like, this is a thing that happens in like Southern families or just in a town, I guess, but people like your parents' friends, they have kids in waves.
Yeah.
So like you always have kids of the families that are like within the same like year or two age range you're in.
That's how all of my cousins are.
Yeah. It's strange.
There's like 3 to 4 years of everyone having kids and then like, give it a couple of years and then there's another like 3 to 4 year wave of that. So,
yep. So my older brothers, their wave, cause my older brothers are 2 years apart.
Yeah.
So they were basically in the same wave. One at the tail end, or the beginning, one at the end, basically. So their cohort of cousins would make me and my cohort of cousins fight on the trampoline. Like fist fight. So me and my cousin, I will not say his name here, but we both remember this. This is not just a fever dream that I had. The two of us fist fighting while the other cousins were just around the trampoline, like cheering us on.
Some Lord of the Flies shit.
It was weird. Yeah. And shit happens. I mean, I just thought it was normal until I became an adult and told someone that story. And they were like, that's really fucked
up. That's fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, no, you don't ever did that.
We used to like, I mean, we used to like fight each other with like pool noodles and shit. We used to hit the shit out of each other with pool noodles.
Nah, this was bare knuckles like, fist fight, dude.
Yeah, no, we never did any bare knuckle shit.
And this was the trampoline that did not have the spring covers on it and a net or and no net.
Yeah.
So this was just old rusty ass spring. Like you get your foot caught in there, you're going to draw blood.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So it was kind of like a death match.
Hell in a cell.
It was my own personal hell in a cell. Yes. Yeah, that was fun. I broke my ankle falling off the trampoline once. That was cool.
Hell yeah.
But no, I never beat up my older brothers because they are 4 and 6 years older than me.
They never humiliated your family?
There's plenty of that. But, no, they never humiliated my family. Or if they did, I didn't hear about it.
All right. Well, I guess you never fought with your brothers like...
No, not like this.
Fade and Rabban. Rabban. Fuck.
Join me. Join me on the dark side, John.
No. It's Rabban.
I can tell you want to.
It's Rabban.
Okay, so none of this happens in the book, so I don't have any book notes. Nothing from Art and Soul on your end?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, let's get back tomorrow and round the week out.
As always, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap this week up on a Friday episode, and I will have the right episode in mind when we're talking about this kid walking through the siege. We'll see you then.
See ya.